This is Diana Cordy with Book Talk. My guest is Craig Johnson, author of the Walt Longmire Mystery, Western Mystery series, which is also a popular TV show. Though it's been a dozen years or so, welcome back.
It has been. Why did it take you so long to get me back in here?
Anyway? I know. Where have I been?
I'm not that far away.
Your newest title is my favorite, An Obvious Fact. The 12th in this series. Where does most of the story take place?
The majority of the story takes place in a little town called Hewlett, Crook County, up in the northeast corner of Wyoming. It's a relatively unpopulated area, and it's a town of about 396 brave souls and a police force of one. And that's usually, you know, pretty good odds, you know, as far as the crime rate is concerned on the High Plains, you know, 400 citizens per police officer. Not that you would know that from watching Longmire. Again, it makes it Absaroka County look like the most dangerous place in the world, but it's a pretty safe place. Like, the only problem being that once a year they have a little sister city across the border in South Dakota called Sturgis. And here about 2 years ago, they had the 75th anniversary, I think it was, of the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally, and over 1 million bikers were there at that point.
A million bikers?
A million of them. And so about 50 or 60,000 of them tend to peel off out of Sturgis on the Wednesday of the Sturgis Rally and come over to Hewlett for what they call Ham and Jam. And so all I could think was, you know, boy, a town of 396 with one police officer and 50,000 bikers in it, that's probably something that Walt and Henry and certainly Vic Moretti need to be involved with.
What's the Ham and Jam?
The Ham and Jam is this other part of a rally that they have. They serve up, I think it's about 1,000 pounds of barbecued pork, 300 pounds of coleslaw, I think it is, like another 200 pounds of chips. And then they also have No Panty Wednesday, although none of the official literature seems to document the missing garments.
Where do a million people stay?
You know what? From what I understand over in Sturgis, people actually rent their houses out and get out of town, you know, just so, you know, that they can, you know, not be there for the rally. But, you know, boy, it pulls people in from all over the world. And, you know, there's that part of August, you know, where you start seeing so much motorcycle traffic, you know, out here on the High Plains. And it just seems to be such an intrinsic part, you know, of the contemporary American West. It just seemed like something that I needed to work into the books.
How many days does that rally last?
About a week.
About
a week long.
You mentioned Henry Standing Bear, one mm-hmm. of your regular series characters. He has his own subplot in this book.
He does.
Tell us about that.
Well, the most dangerous character, as it turns out, you know, in a town with 50,000 bikers in it, happens to be an old flame of Henry Standing Bear's. And we finally, after 12 books, well, 11 books, okay, we finally get to meet Lola Wojciechowski, the femme fatale that Henry used to date back in the early days, actually a woman that he named his 1959 Baltic Blue Thunderbird convertible for. You know, Walt asks him, he says, Wojciechowski? And Henry's response is, it wasn't really a last name kind of relationship, but it was enough of a relationship that he actually named his car after her. And she seems to be involved with the situation where Walt and Henry have been kind of called over, you know, by this one patrolman, Corbin Dougherty, who's a friend of theirs, you know, from a previous investigation. There's a young man who's ridden off the road and is hurt. And it just seems like there's some things going on that don't seem quite right. And that's kind of one of the fun parts about writing the books, in that, you know, I like to portray the fact, you know, that Walt, you know, after 11 books, you know, has actually gotten a little bit of a reputation around the state of Wyoming and some other places too. And so it allows me to kind of broaden his jurisdiction for him to be called in on some other jobs every once in a while, which makes it a little bit more believable that he would be working on this many cases per year.
Besides living in Wyoming, what do you have in common with Longmire?
I get asked that a lot. Like, I get asked, you know, how much of him is me? And I think my wife probably has the best remark about that. And that is that Walt Longmire is who Craig would like to be in 10 years. It's just he's off to an incredibly slow start. And there's probably more truth to that than I'm willing to admit. I don't know. I mean, you know, whenever you're writing a character in first person, you know, which is what I do with the Longmire books, you know, you're basically in Walt's head, you know, for 350-some pages. And you got to play that character a little bit close to the vest, you know. So there probably are an awful lot of things, you know, that Walt and I agree on, you know, temperament things that, you know, that we probably align with, you know. But then there are also going to be things, you know, that we disagree on. In this particular book, one of the major issues in the books is the background of the motorcycle rally. And, you know, Henry is an avid motorcyclist, you know, one of the actual originators of the Jack Pine Gypsies hill climb, you know, which he partakes of, you know, in this particular book. And so he's big on motorcycles, rides motorcycles a lot. And Walt doesn't. He doesn't like motorcycles one darn bit, you know. And so I think that, you know, with his, you know, with his career in law enforcement, he's just seen too many things happen with motorcycles, you know, to take them seriously as a mode of transportation without becoming an organ donor. And so, you know, there are times when, you know, we kind of part company.
Though you're a fan of motorcycles.
I am a fan of motorcycles. I grew up around them, you know, and had them, and my father had them, and, you know, for me, they were, you know, kind of a fun thing to have, you know, but I'm a big fan of just about anything you can get on and ride at speed, and so, you know, for me, like, it was a joy to do it. I actually had what I used to refer to as the Outlaw Motorcycle Tour, which I used to do after every book tour. I would, you know, Viking Penguin would send me out on these big, you know, national tours like that, and then I would get emails from places like Baker City, Oregon, where, you know, they would ask me, when is Viking Penguin going to send you to Baker City? And I would have to tell them, never. And so what I did was I just kept collecting all of these little independent bookstores up in Montana and Idaho and Washington, Oregon, Utah, and some down here in Colorado, too. And I would collect them all and tell them, okay, well, if I'm ever in the area, you know, I'll be happy to come by and do an event, or if I'm doing a library event or something, I'll stay in touch. And so I started collecting these little, you know, independent bookstores. And after I got about a dozen of them or so, I had this old motorcycle that I had since 1996, and, you know, it got about 80 miles to the gallon. And so when I would finish the national tour, I would jump on that motorcycle and take off and do a big 5,000-mile loop all by myself, you know, all the way through the Great Northwest. And it was a blast. I had a really good time doing it.
Do you still do that?
You know, I can't anymore since they've moved me to September, because, you know, they're already closing some of the passes up where I live.
Yeah.
You know, Bear Pass is already closed up, yeah. You know, and there was snow on the Bighorns and about 6 inches of snow on the date that I left to go off on the tour. So I don't know. We'll see if they still want me a full year later.
Are you working on your next Walt?
Oh, absolutely.
So you're in his head.
I am. I'm always working on the next Walt Longmire book, yeah.
So you're always in his head while you're also yourself.
Yeah, I kind of am. I mean, you know, the other thing is that, you know, I really enjoy the books. You know, I mean, it was kind of a tricky proposition, you know, whenever Viking Penguin, I mean, you remember when I was here, you know, with The Cold Dish. The Cold Dish was really a standalone book. It was supposed to be, you know, just a novel. And then, you know, Catherine Court, you know, of Penguin sat me down and said, you know, put her hand on the advanced reader copy and patted it and said, you know, we'd really like some more of these. And I said, well, I'm happy to write you guys some more books. And she goes, I don't think you understand. We would like some more of these. We think these characters, this place, these relationships, people are going to want more. And of course, that's when I, with the knowledge of not even having had one book published yet, started arguing with the president of Penguin USA and going, oh, I don't think that'll work, but I've got some other ideas I want to bounce off of you. And she said, why don't you go back to your ranch and sit down and think about this? And so I did, and, you know, the answer came roaring back that, yeah, probably these characters had more stories to tell, you know, and nobody else was going to write them, so probably I was the one that needed to sit down and do them. And so, you know, I've usually got that next Longmire book already, you know, written in my head before I finish the one I'm working on right now. And, yeah, I'm about 14 chapters into the next one already.
Do you think you'll ever run out of stories?
I really don't. One of the dirty little secrets about my books is they tend to come from newspaper articles. Everywhere that I go when I'm traveling, I'm always picking up, you know, little small-town newspapers. And they're just worth their weight in gold, you know, because small town newspapers will print stuff that there's no way larger newspapers will. I'm always wondering how they get away without being, you know, drug into court. But there are always these fascinating stories. And what it does is it kind of keeps the Walt books kind of grounded in a reality. I mean, I don't want to ever write Walt chasing Al-Qaeda in Crook County. I don't want to ever have Walt on a cruise ship, you know. And so, you know, one of the things those newspaper articles do is it keeps Walt kind of grounded. And it also, you know, that way Walt is dealing, you know, with the things that Western sheriffs are dealing with. And, you know, to me, that's very reassuring.
Does the TV program follow your book storylines, or do you each do your own thing?
The producers got together with me at the very beginning in the onset of the development of the television show Longmire, and one of the things they said was it's your books don't cut down very easily to a 42-minute teleplay. And I said, thank you. If they did, you shouldn't be reading them.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
My guest is Craig Johnson, author of An Obvious Fact, published by Viking. This is Diana Cordy with Book Talk.